The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. Keith and Jonathan each have over 25 years spearheading business transformation programs for Fortune 1000 companies. Keith Koo is an expert on marketing and advertising, risk management, and risk mitigation. Jonathan Ziegler's background is in enterprise sales, management consulting, and marketing. Together, they're the managing partners of Guardian Insight Group, leveraging the diverse knowledge in industries such as technology, financial services, fintech, healthcare, energy, and retail. And they're here to help you break out from your current mindset, make a revolutionary shift in your business goals, and achieve greater success. Now, your hosts for Guardian Insights, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and in the studio with me is my co-host, Jonathan Ziegler. And Jonathan, today's, well, this week has actually been a very busy week in cyber risk.
Yeah. I think we need to kind of do a quick update because last week our show aired actually on Friday, but we recorded it prior to that. And 5 minutes after we recorded, the Uber breach was made public.
Yeah. Well, it's been out there for a year, but it was only made known last week right after we recorded the show.
Yeah. So, you know, you and I were just talking before we went on the air just now about why do people go into business? Is that right?
Yeah.
So we were starting to have the conversation about why is it that most people go into business? Well, in the traditional sense, businesses used to be built by individuals so that they could build a family fortune or a family nest egg and pass it on to another generation or help build a family business and create what some people now run as a family office that does charitable work and has a for-profit and a not-for-profit potential arm of each. I think that's why people used to go into business. I think nowadays people just go into business to make money, period. And, you know, maybe it's to make a name and have a reputation and maybe it's ego and something like that. But most people don't look at it anymore the way that I think we think about it, which is, you know, building a reputation, building a solution set that solves a problem, helps people. Yeah, there's a lot of that. I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but I think that's what most people go into business for, is to make the money.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always a good foundation. You don't want to go into business not to make money. And it was interesting. When we had Jed Dodaiuf from the author of Disrupt or Die and also an icon in the Silicon Valley in terms of the companies he's created, he had really gone into this concept from Jim Collins' book over a decade ago, From Good to Great, yeah, on a level five leader,
yeah,
and how folks like John Chambers,
right,
from Cisco Systems was on the potential of being one of these level five leaders, along with the CEO of Southwest and the CEO of Wells Fargo. So what's really happened, though, is he was saying that if you look at Elon Musk, you look at Steve Jobs, you look at all these really innovative new leaders, Jeff Bezos at Amazon, that they don't follow that traditional mold, and they are building, not just making money, but they are building their own legacy.
Yeah. So I think it's not just about legacy. However, looking at, you know, the new super leaders like Bezos, for example, and Larry Ellison for Oracle, who's kind of a bridging the gap, but maybe Salesforce.com, you know, looking at Mark Benioff and his philanthropy for the UCSF and Stanford Children's Hospitals, for example, and even Elon Musk, you know, to an extent with his charitable stuff as well. The reality is that I think it's again, you don't initially set out to build a world-changing, or maybe you do, but there is the ability to come back to earth and say, what am I doing for the greater good of mankind, let alone what am I doing to feather my own pocketbook? Because a lot of times I think we talk about that whole triple bottom line, the win-win-win. you know, you have a socially conscious business that is building on its reputation. It's building on its ability to generate revenue and income and its ability to donate money back to charitable causes. So we talk about the socially conscious business, and, you know, it's one of those situations where I think today the outcome doesn't necessarily drive how the business grows or drive how the business is initially organized. It just happens naturally if it's done right. And I think that's part of the challenge today.
I think that's the key element, is if it's done right. So what we have versus even a decade ago is we have the ability to create products very fast.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the Lean Startup with Jed and how that's been kind of turned on its head as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about innovation, we talk about Silicon Valley and these unicorns, unicorns being defined as startups worth over $1 billion.
Right.
And whether they're going to have initial public offering, whether they're going to get bought out by a private equity firm.
Yeah.
And I think what has happened is because of the ability to generate revenue very fast, profits is questionable, being able to get a wide, almost viral experience like an Uber,
mm-hmm.
that back to basics, which is a lot of what our show is going to be about today, is there are simple elements around risk management that could define how your future as a company persists. And why we say that is other news before we dig a lot more into Uber, we heard about an existing organization, a healthcare system in California called Cottage Health.
All right, yeah.
And they were nailed with a $2 million fine this week for a data breach that happened in 2013.
Well, and then there was also the 2015. So it's two separate breaches. But the attorney general for California basically said 55,000 patients' data was at risk. And in fact, I read the article. It was actually Google indexed. So you could do a Google search on Cottage Health patients and get a list. That's insane.
Yeah.
And so, you know, tell me a little bit more about that, Keith. This is one of those situations where, you know, we've talked about privacy. We've talked about solutions on how to fix the basic risks that are involved. We've talked about some of the different variations around hacks and hacking and what the basic challenge is around a typical small business or a medium-sized business or a corporate concern, where some of this should be basic hygiene, as we've talked about. We talked about in the last show.
Right. And why we were going down the path on unicorns is that the unicorns happen to move so fast that they may not be aware, might not be taking the same steps that an established company or a traditional way of establishing your company, which is no longer traditional, in that you would look at the regulation, you look at these policies, you look at the way that things are constructed. We have this term, which we'll dig in more a little bit later on in today's show, but this term called shadow IT.
Right.
And shadow IT is simply that in more established companies, they have a technology group that supports them, supports their infrastructure applications. And with the advent of a buzzword that we've said over and over again, cloud technology, that you actually bypass these technology teams. And these technology teams are the ones who would most likely have the right people, process, policies, and systems to do things, quote unquote, what you referred to earlier, the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, I'm guessing, or I'm thinking, or we've experienced with our own customers and clients, that they're moving so fast that even though these are basic hygiene steps, so what we will talk about in terms of Uber and what we'll talk about in terms of Cottage Health and these others, it's not really a hack in the sense that they were hacked, meaning a malicious group or person broke something.
Right.
In both cases, the data was readily available. Just somebody had to go in and grab it.
Yeah, no. And I think this is one of those situations where, you know, from a solution perspective, we like to talk about this with our customers and prospects all the time. What are they doing to protect the basics, protect the house?
So although we have a lot to cover on today's show, two public service announcements. One that we'll get into right when we come back is that there was an Apple vulnerability announced just yesterday. So we'll talk about steps that it affects
everybody
who has upgraded to latest OS.
Right.
And then two, one of the things that's happening with Uber and the 57 million people that were affected phishing attacks. We'll go about into what a phishing attack is.
You know, we used the analogy early on in one of our first shows of, you know, having a security alarm system in the house, having the sign out front, and it being the deterrent for the low risk, you know, typical average bad guy, and he'll pass it up. But those people who are more advanced and more technically capable already know how to defeat that system, and so they're going to come right in.
Right.
So it's basic hygiene. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why it's important for people to talk to us at Guardian Insight Group is to bring it back to the basics, which is do a risk assessment, provide your C-level folks with a solid idea around what's working and what's not working. So give us a call. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Uber situation, this cottage healthcare situation, the attorney general. But you can reach us at gigsv.biz, G-I-G-S-V.biz, or call us toll-free at 1-888-388-6739. That's 1-888-388-OPEX. And we'll be back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX, 888-388-OPEX. Now, back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and today with me is my co-host, Jonathan Ziegler. And again, we were just talking about this very busy week in cyber risk. Although Uber is making the headlines, another big headline yesterday was that Apple had a major vulnerability. It was discovered by a guy named Leman Orhan Ergin, and he tweeted, "Dear Apple support, we noticed a huge security issue at macOS High Sierra. Anyone can log in as root with empty password after clicking on login button several times. Are you aware of it at Apple?" So without getting too technical, this just means that anybody who's updated to the latest OS of Apple High Sierra, all you need to do is to put in root as a user ID and no password, and somebody can log into your machine.
So what does that mean, Keith? I mean, I'm sorry. This is Apple. We're talking about a company that has the largest market cap in the world, at least it did last week. We're talking about a company that updates their software for their iPhones on a regular basis and updates the operating systems quite frequently. What does it mean?
It means that even a company like Apple, largest market cap company on the planet right now, if they don't have what we call good hygiene around something as simple as ensuring that your upgrade OS doesn't have something so basic as not an empty password, that how does a smaller organization have any hope of being on top of everything without the right processes, policies, people, and systems?
So they bring us in. Guardian Insight comes in and makes sure that they do have the right policies, process, people, and the hygiene, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, we've made the joke before, belt and suspenders. Sometimes you need belt and suspenders. You need this double checking. we certainly can do that. But you need somebody to go in there and make sure that all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed.
Right. No, I agree. And I think this is one of those situations where it's a public service announcement, as you said earlier on, but it's also really important for people to understand that trust is a big deal right now. And a lot of these companies, especially around the holidays, we were talking about phishing attacks and we're going to get into that. A lot of these companies believe that they're all set and that things are clean and that it's a good time of year to, I won't say let your guard down. In fact, I would say more likely it's time for you to increase your guard because this is the time of year where a lot of people are doing a lot more online shopping. They're using their PayPal account, perhaps, or they're using their online e-wallet from Visa or any one of the other financial providers. That's becoming a big, big part of the Christmas tradition or the holiday shopping season tradition. Be prepared and be forewarned that not everything out there is safe. And with that, you know, take your time to make sure that you're doing something with a valid vendor too. This is another situation which kind of alludes to and steps into the phishing conversation.
Right. And one more thing about the Apple, we'll have links on our website at gigsv.biz on how to fix this problem. So people should not get confused that although Apple makes great products and Microsoft Windows is everywhere, they're not the same. And so root access to a Mac is a very serious vulnerability. It basically can take control of any aspect of your machine.
Right. Very good point.
So let's talk about phishing.
Yeah. Phishing. P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Not the kind with a fishing rod, but the other kind.
But the concept's the same.
Yeah,
it's just like fishing, we put worms out in the water hoping that a fish is going to bite.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad people hope that you will either click through email, click on a website to malicious content. And so I think they said within 5 minutes of the publicly announced Uber quote-unquote hack, which isn't a hack, the very first email started going out. That's how fast it was. The very first email started going out to individuals saying, looking like it came from Uber, saying, hey, we got hacked and we want to help you with your data. Click here.
Wow. So it's kind of along the lines of going back to the Equifax breach that we talked about, where even though there was a setup, a link set up for you, the consumer, to respond saying, hey, I think I've been hacked. This one is actually just that same situation that we described on that episode or that show, where we talked about the fact that somebody actually set up a fake site, a spoof site, to prove to Equifax that they yet hadn't fixed the problem.
Right.
Yeah. So this is exactly like that.
Yeah. Except that this wasn't a case where somebody was trying to prove their people.
Yeah, this is malicious. This is malicious. Yeah. And so what's interesting is, as I said to you before we started today's show, I haven't received any emails from Uber at all. And I'm a big Uber user. I use them everywhere. I use them across the... I used Didi Kuwadi in China. I mean, I've used them in India. I've used them everywhere. So I believe that I'm probably a victim of this, you know, hack or this perpetrated data theft. And I haven't received any notifications at all. So I'm kind of concerned.
And you're still using them?
Well, as of yesterday, ironically. But it is what it is. I mean, that's one of the things. It's a convenience, right? And we take that for granted sometimes. And also, sometimes we're willing to take the risk. I mean, I have a secured Visa card that's, you know, set up and happy to actually reveal my numbers because at this point, everybody else in the world has them, right? I'm kidding. But the point is that this is a challenge for me as a consumer, as a business person who's, you know, running a day-to-day business like we do. It's hard to focus for 5 minutes or even a minute and realize, shoot, my data is probably out there someplace in the, you know, the black regions or the nether regions, and it could very well be compromised. What's the next step for me? And especially in the Uber case, because I guarantee you they've got my credit card, they've got my birthday, they have probably my my PIN code or my, you know, CVV code. They have my address because it's on the credit card. They've got a lot of information. The only thing they don't have from me personally, because I don't drive for them, is my driver's license number and my social security number. But apparently with the drivers, they have that.
They do.
So that's a big deal. So let's talk about hygiene and let's talk about how that kind of comes back to play. Because the phishing attack is a typical, it's a spoof. It's designed to look exactly like it comes from the vendor. It could be Wells Fargo, which they had an issue with it a couple of years ago, and they've had one recently too. Could be like we talked about with Equifax, where they had that as well, where somebody sent out a very official looking email that came from some random, you know, email address that was masked to look like it came from Equifax, for example.
Well, in terms of hygiene for individuals is locking down their credit unless they need to apply for credit. And we talked about that mm-hmm. on the Equifax show and the data breach show. And also we have links on our website. We also then say hygiene for companies. And this is very basic. So why I have big issues with a company like Uber saying that this was a hack. It wasn't a hack. The data did get stolen, but they did nothing to protect that data. So when we talked about last show on a Chinese drone manufacturer that everybody uses, DJI.
DJI, right, yeah.
We said that they had inadvertently left their data up in quote-unquote the cloud, which in this case, we can't even say because it's not their fault. AWS, which is Amazon Web Services, many, many very established companies use Amazon as their cloud provider, as well as Microsoft Azure.
And Google and everybody else.
And Alibaba Cloud,
yeah. Right.
And since this drive for cost savings, I mean, we're famous for saving companies money.
Yes, we are.
But more importantly for us than saving money, which is a great thing, is making sure that your company sticks around.
It's protected.
That you don't get fined.
Yes.
And that's, I think, the unique part of trying to save money. Oftentimes you save money, you know, penny wise, pound foolish.
Right.
You're making these really not so great decisions. And why I'll say this is I was involved with an organization I uncovered way back when, quote unquote, cloud was new, that there were over 120 engineers using cloud on just their personal credit cards.
Right. I remember that.
And how would any company without a policy or procedure know that their engineers are using these technologies? They could be doing it from home. They could be doing it anywhere or even at work.
Right. And even though they've signed policy statements, they've still violated those policies, but there's no repercussion because there's no tracking.
Yeah. So when we get back, let's dive into more of these types of situations that good hygiene can take care of. So you can reach us at 1-888-388-6739 or 1-888-388-OPEX or reach us at gigsv.biz. That's G-I-G, S as in Silicon, V as in Valley, .biz.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. 888-388-OPEX. Now, back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. Jonathan, we've just been going on and on about back to cybersecurity and data breaches. So we were talking about with Uber and with DJI in our last show, these companies that say they got hacked, they really didn't, in the sense that if you leave your data out in the open and somebody is inside your – if you leave your door unlocked and somebody's inside your house,
right,
they can take things.
Right. We talked about that earlier. It's the whole concept of – it's not that the data is secure. That's the bottom line.
Right.
The data was just left out there, like the Cottage Health breach from 13 and 15. The bottom line there was – that data was readily visible on a Google search. So, period. You've forgotten to do the basics, which is make sure that the data is actually, or the door or the closet is actually locked, right?
Right.
So, you know, let's talk about how we would address something like that, how we would solution a fix for something like that. This is one of those challenges where, first off, we do risk assessments, and we'd invite you to give us a call or send us a note at the website at gigsv.biz. To set up a time for us to come in and do a basic risk assessment. And what we do when we do a basic risk assessment, and Keith and I have talked about this, it's not necessarily anything that you don't know about today. It's the challenge of what's your day-to-day business and what's your core competency. You're not thinking necessarily about the security of one of your pieces of data or all of your pieces of data. You're thinking about, where am I getting my next set of sales? Who are my next customers going to be? You're focused on the day-to-day operational side of your business. So you need to bring somebody like Guardian Insight Group in to do this risk assessment. What we do is we pretty much get the microscope out. We look at everything that you are doing with your vendors, everything that you're doing with connections to the outside world. We're not going to necessarily be the IT network experts. In other words, if you're, you know, doing a partnership with AT&T for your IT networking, that's one thing. But we're going to make sure that you're up to date, that your security is up to date, that your policies and procedures, if they need to be rewritten, that's what we bring ourselves in to do, right?
Right.
So in addition to that, what we also want you to be aware of is what's new and what's trending, what partnerships that we bring to the table. We've had security experts on. We've had disruption people like Jedediah Ue that you talked about the whole business model being turned on its ear in Silicon Valley and how we approach that as well. We use that as part of our solutioning. We also bring in potentially financial services and legal advice if need be. So we have the gamut of solutioning to bring in. So in this particular case, we've been talking a lot about what's bad out there. Let's talk about how we can bring a solution to the table and bring it to bear.
Well, here's the solution. So in the case of Uber and DJI, and again, we're not inside those companies, so we don't know what goes behind the scenes, but they both have these, what we talked about last week, bug bounty programs. And a bug bounty program is these companies that have applications, cloud technologies, things like even Google and Facebook. They all have now these bug bounty programs where if you uncover a vulnerability or a potential hack, they can give you money.
Well, let's even talk about the Apple situation. That guy did that particular piece via Twitter, right?
Right. And he wasn't paid for it.
He wasn't paid. He just did it because he discovered it, right?
Right.
So that's a good Samaritan. But at the same time, that guy could very easily have turned it around and turned it into a ransomware situation or a ransom situation and been a bad guy, right?
Sure.
that's the challenge between like the DJI situation we talked about in the last show, or the bug bounty program, where it becomes a financial incentive for somebody to bring it to the company's attention within their guidelines. Or they've had the hackathon, which is something different as well, which is an actual attack effort by a white hat hacker. And we talked about that last week as well. But where we go from here is these guys are actually in the business of finding the vulnerabilities and showing the company, hey, we found this, you need to fix it. And the responsive companies are saying, great, we found it, we appreciate it, thanks for letting us know, here's a reward, now we're going to clean it up, go out there and find the next one. That's how a bug bounty program would typically work, right?
Yeah, and we covered that heavily in the DJI program last week, the droning on and on.
Yeah.
But I think the key here is that if I'm looking at these companies, so DJI said they offered up to a $30,000 bounty. And the reason why Uber is being scrutinized is their bug bounty program says they pay up to $10,000. And they originally, once this data breach was uncovered, the new CEO, Dara, tried to explain that this was actually a bug bounty program because they actually paid $100,000 to the quote-unquote hackers. But it wasn't a bug bounty program because it wouldn't have exceeded $10,000.
Why not?
Because their program says they only pay a maximum of $10,000. This is what made the investigators
a little suspicious.
Like, yeah. How can this be part of your bug bounty program when you yeah. paid $100,000?
Yeah.
And it's more and more kind of creeping out. We don't know the definitive, but it creeps out that this was a ransom type of situation.
Exactly. And that's what it was. And they were paid to bury the or delete the material or the information. And that was kind of what irked the or brought the yellow flag or red flag out, that the investigators were saying, time out, if you actually paid that much and you do you know for sure that the data has been deleted? That's the question. So again, this is a risk management or a risk mitigation exercise. And I think this is really important for people to understand. Small, mid-size, large company, if you don't have a policy and procedure in place to manage this, who's watching your house?
Right. And that's what I was getting to also, is that even with all these bug bounty programs, which if they're set up properly, they're great, you don't need it. If,
yeah.
if you, for DJI, for Uber, and then in previous news and episodes we've already had, we've talked about the Accenture breach, we talked about the Deloitte breach, number one cybersecurity firm in the world.
Yeah.
All of these were if they just had followed their own
Policies and procedures. Yeah.
This wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. So who's the bad guy here, or who's the watchdog here?
Well, that's a loaded question.
I know.
The bad guys is it's everybody's responsibility.
Sure.
Everybody's responsibility, but a lot of people now say, well, this is interesting. Uber, the new CEO then said, hey, this is really because of a third party, referring to Amazon.
Right.
And we've talked about it before over and over again, and my particular expertise is that when we talk about a vendor,
mm-hmm.
oftentimes they could be the reason why you've been breached, but many times, like
they're
in this case, they're not.
Yeah.
They're just a service provider. There was a CIO who actually stated in this case, and we talked about shadow IT, so we'll get back to that now. Shadow IT is simply going around your established procedures and infrastructure, but it's just so easy to do now, so cheap. So
we call it skunk works too.
Right. So we're saying that if you had the policies and procedures to account for any use case around your technology,
mm-hmm.
it shouldn't matter.
Right.
Because whether or not I have we talk about storage on premise, my data storage on premise inside my own walls,
mm-hmm.
or that I have in a co-location facility, so I've rented out a data center,
mm-hmm.
or that I've given it completely away to an Amazon or to a Microsoft. If you have the right policy procedures, you still have all the right control mechanisms.
But let's also talk about that too from our perspective. Going through that exercise of figuring out what works, what doesn't work, whether it's on-prem or off-prem, if it's in the cloud or if it's a private cloud or whatever the case may be, that's all part of our risk assessment and our considerations around how we recommend what you should be doing, yeah. right? So that's the other side of this coin, that, yeah, there's all this bad stuff out there. There are ways to see through this sea of bad stuff, so to speak. And that's what Guardian Insight's all about. It brings together the opportunity for you, the C-level executive, you, the mid-level manager, to cover your rear end, so to speak. We're all about CYA. And what we tend to be is a secret weapon. And I think that's the really good way of describing it, that we come in, we look at vulnerabilities, but we also look at areas where you might not even be looking. You might not even be thinking about. You might actually say, oh, I've got this vendor. I have this solution. That CIO that you referenced in the, you know, your previous segment, in your previous comment, That CIO actually was the one who said, don't tell me I have a problem. Just bring me the solution, right? Because he's old school. But that's a statement that we hear a lot from our prospects and customers. They already know they have a problem. They want to know how to fix it. So we come in and we try and evaluate. And if they've already done an evaluation, that's great. We'll take that as well and kind of compound on top of that if we need to. But what that does is that gives us the benefit of, hey, they've already started. They're making good strides, but maybe they don't have everything encompassed. And that's where our years of expertise and our circle of experts that we bring in help bring the solution to bear, which is simply put, protecting the house. Making sure that every aspect or every avenue, and we talked about this earlier today, you and I off the air, where we were saying that this basically drives our consideration around if you're not regulated today, you may be or you will be. So let's get you ready from the rigor and the definition of what a regulatory consideration might look like for your business.
Yeah, I mean, 2017 has been a watershed moment for data privacy.
Right.
We talked about GDPR, which is a regulation that's already approved and will be enacted in May of 2018. And anytime there's a data breach, because the U.S. doesn't yet have that regulation,
yeah,
people pull out that regulation as what the U.S. will become.
Exactly. And I think that's a foregone conclusion for 18 or 19 that we are going to see that happen.
Right. And in the absence of that being official at a federal level, the reason why today we opened up our show with the cottage health breach, yeah, is that this was 55,000 patient records that resulted in a $2 million fine. And it was not fined by any federal level. It was fined by the state of California.
And think about that. We also figured out, and this is something for background, Cottage is a very small healthcare system with 5 hospitals. They're out in the central coast in Southern California, Santa Barbara area. And they're a very small organization, but yet the California Attorney General and the California Association of Healthcare Practitioners, those two groups are notorious because they know they can find the challenges. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, it's a revenue source for the state.
Right. And that's where, when we talked about the beginning of all the stuff that happened with the mortgage crisis.
Right.
The bank that was first nailed was not JP Morgan or Wells Fargo. No. The Wells Fargo is getting nailed over and over again.
Right.
It was a really tiny, tiny bank.
Right.
And that was because even when you're a regulator, they're professionals. They're trying to figure things out as well.
Test cases.
They're doing test cases.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's the danger of being a small company.
Right. Exactly. And that's where you bring us in. If you're going to be in an industry that has a lot of scrutiny, let's talk about artificial intelligence, machine learning, IoT, all of these newer buzzword of the day in Silicon Valley, for example, and anywhere else that you're listening, this is one of those situations where whatever you're doing, it could be cutting edge. The challenge will be making sure that you're prepared in the long run for what may be inevitable, which is next year becomes the visibility increases, the scrutiny increases, a GDPR-like solution or a GDPR-like regulation comes into play federally. Let's see what happens. But the states are definitely going after us. So
to summarize this segment, it's that there are very simple steps that really any company can take. But the reason why they're not taking it, there's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. They don't want to self-disclose. We had an episode called Disrupting Plausible Deniability.
Right.
And it was tongue-in-cheek. But this is serious. There are steps that you can take or hire somebody like Guardian Insight Group to do for you to make sure that you're safe.
Absolutely. So you can reach us at gigsv.biz, G-I-G-S-V, S as in Silicon, V as in Valley, .biz, or toll free at 1-888-388-6739. That's 1-888-388-OPEX, and we'll be back shortly.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. 888-388-OPEX. Now, back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler.
Welcome back to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level. I'm your host, Keith Koo, with my co-host, Jonathan Ziegler. Today, we've been discussing different types of cyber risk and data breaches that have occurred, but really, what are some of the practical things that individuals and companies should take to secure themselves?
Yeah, let's talk about it really in brass tacks. What precautions do you take to protect your data, to protect your InfoSec and your IT operations at your company and at home, for example?
Well, I think for at home, Uber was another massive data breach. It's 57 million global users drivers of Uber, and they have a lot of data. It's almost as bad as the Equifax breach, mm-hmm. And larger in scale from a global reach. So there's some things that you really should be doing with Uber. One, I would suggest immediately change your passwords that you use with the Uber. Be alert to phishing emails, and we talked about it a couple of segments ago that phishing is when, almost like social engineering, they're sending you emails or sending you links on websites to say, hey, we're Uber, we're here to help fix the problems we created for you. Very cautious that email or communication really is from Uber.
Yeah.
And the simplest thing to do is just call customer service.
Exactly. Don't take the risk. Don't click on any links. Don't respond to anything via reply. Don't do anything like that. That's the challenge that these social engineering and these phishing attacks are getting more and more technologically advanced, so to speak, and they're becoming much more believable.
Right. And just like the IRS scam where somebody calls you from the IRS, don't respond to any calls from Uber or any other vendor. Make sure that you're in control of that communication.
Absolutely.
And I would say also do a fraud alert, but because of all the other breaches, you probably already have a fraud alert.
Yeah, hopefully you do. And if you haven't done that already, don't give us a call, but just give Equifax or one of the other two agencies a call and get your credit reports and take a look at them and then figure out if you need to lock your file down.
So then when we go to talk about companies and businesses, if I were the chief information officer or the chief information security officer or the chief risk officer or any other chief, what have you, mm-hmm. I'd be looking at doing a top-down review of my internal controls.
Absolutely.
And I think what happens there is that if you're not coming from a highly regulated industry, and the two most highly regulated industries would be something along nuclear energy or banking.
Right.
So not even medicine, not even insurance. As much as I love those industries, they're not really as regulated. Take a really good hard look at what you're using. And the way to do that is there are things that are available on NIST, a government standard. But I think the challenge, though, there is if you give a manual of NIST to just even an educated IT person, they're not necessarily going to be able to follow.
Well, one, they're not going to be able to follow, and two, it's going to be so cumbersome that they're going to just throw it in the trash or they're going to put it on the shelf and say, hey, look what I did, right? That's not the active or past the active aggressive approach to fixing a problem or trying to put a policy in place.
Yeah. I mean, I'll compare it to some of our clients right now are these international companies trying to take best practices and approaches and around regulations and laws. So very similar to a company that's trying to dive into this when they think they've had it under control,
yeah.
but they really haven't.
Yeah.
So I'll liken it to two different countries.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about that earlier today.
And since you don't know what you don't know, get someone like Guardian Insight in to help you put that framework together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even just to ask the right basic questions of what you're trying to do from your top-down governance and your top-down review that you described just a minute ago, that's the challenge of bringing in somebody like Guardian Insight, where we've got, between you and me, 50 years of experience, but also between our staff and our affiliates, we've got probably 300-400 years of experience of doing this stuff in general. And then I'd say hands-on, we've got well over 200,000 hours and billions of dollars worth of contracts. So I think this is a consideration where it's not just about the vendor relationship, and that's not just about watching the house, so to speak, as we talked about earlier. It's about managing the expectation of what that risk looks like. And let's not forget that as a corporate officer, you are responsible either to your shareholders or your investors or your family. If you're in a family business, you are responsible for what happens day to day. And if you have one of these situations, God forbid, erupt in your lap, what's your next step? You've already had a breach. You've already had a challenge with a vendor. You've already had a contract that's exploded or whatever. You can call us. We may not be able to help you right away, but longer term, we should be able to turn something around for you. But you have to prepare for the inevitable. And as we talked about, it's regulated or not, you're going to get there at some point, or you're going to come across a regulatory challenge because you've grown so fast, you've expanded so fast, you've built a new product so fast, that you're going to be impacted by some of that. So let's, help bring that to a head, right?
Right. And so, some other practical things to do right now, and we talked about this in our show called Moving to the Cloud, Is It Safer? Safer can mean a lot of things. It can mean a lot of people still identify with safer as being less costly.
Right.
And what we're really talking about is as companies are progressing and wanting to cut costs, moving to the cloud certainly can be cheaper if you do it right. And but what we're seeing is that even the number one companies in the world, why we talk about Accenture, why we talk about Deloitte, why we talk about Uber, Yahoo, if these companies cannot always be Apple,
right?
How can you hope to do this yourselves unless you have that discipline?
Absolutely. And I think that's a really big key is that discipline, oversight, guidance, regulation, call it what you want to call it. It's all about making sure that at least you've put the safeguards in place.
So I think to wrap this show up, it's really about you do have the power to take back control of your technology environment. You really have to be on top of everything. And whether or not you have confidence in your own team or whether or not you need a company like Guardian Insight Group, you should feel empowered to make the decision.
Absolutely. Give us a call. Let us know if we can come in and do a risk assessment with no obligation. That's the other thing. It's always confidential. It's always no risk. Give us a shout at 1-888-388-6739. That's 1-888-388-OPEX. Or contact us via the web at gigsvsiliconvalleysv.biz. GIGSV.biz. And we'll hopefully have you join us next time.
You've been listening to Guardian Insights, elevating business to the next level with Keith Koo and Jonathan Ziegler. For questions or comments about today's program, call 1-888-388-OPEX. That's 888-388-OPEX. And be sure to listen again next week at this time for more Guardian Insights right here on this station.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.